thing you have to worry about this morning, that I don't stumble and fall on somebody. 2 days ago, I wondered if I'd be able to make it or not. I have some dizziness. I stagger around. The doctors don't know what to call it yet. The Lord does. I just go on about my business. I just wanted to warn you, if you see me falling, just get out of the way. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Every time we have a meeting at home for the last several months, whoever leads in public prayer, they always pray for God that He might be pleased to revive His church and to stir up an awakening in our country. And if you find it in your heart, God lays it on your heart, I know you'll join with us in those prayers. Remember, Jonathan Edwards said one time, he attributed the Great Awakening to the praying of the people from Scotland. He had asked for their prayers. God had laid them on his heart. They had an awakening. I don't know why. I know God sent it. And He sends things to people that they want. And if a fellow really wants an awakening or a revival, it probably come. I read just as plainly as words can say that if you ask and seek and knock, God will give it to you. Is that what He says? Never said He might, said He would. So if we could just ask and seek and knock, I know the blessing's on the way. Colossians chapter 1. The title of my message today is Christ is all and in all. He's everything. Verse 15, Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things stick together, have their cohesiveness. All the stars and planetary systems and all those things swirling through space at such tremendous speeds and have no cops at any intersection and don't have any stoplights and never do have a collision. You know why? Because of Him. Because of Him. And He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, He might have the preeminence. I like that. All things, He might have the preeminence. Whatever you're talking about in this book, He has the preeminence.
Yes.
For it pleased the Father that in Him, this God-man, should all fullness dwell. Chapter 3 and verse 10. To believers, those who are in Christ, there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, But Christ is all and in all. To those who are in Christ, whether a man's a Greek or a Jew, is totally insignificant. Whether a man is circumcised, circumcision, or uncircumcision, Jew or Gentile, what's that have to do with anything? Whether a man's a barbarian or a Scythian, whether he's bond or free, rich or poor, that doesn't amount to anything. Christ is everything. To each of these classes, all classes, every kindred and tongue and people and nation, Christ is everything. Everything. I want to talk to you this morning about the preeminence of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that Christ is all and in all. And you pray for me, and I'll try to speak a few words for the glory of God and the good of our souls. In the Scriptures, in creation, in providence, in salvation, Christ is everything. He has the preeminence. Preeminence in creation. Preeminence in the rule of this world. He rules it. Preeminence in our salvation. Preeminence in the life of faith. He's everything. Christ is all and in all to the believer. Every man, now listen to these words carefully, every man who preaches or teaches, I've experienced this as well as I know I've experienced it. Every man who preaches or teaches emphasizes something. His chief emphasis. Some it's prophecy, some it's the church, some it's free will, but they emphasize something. Every man who preaches or teaches has some chief hermeneutic principle, some chief principle of interpretation. And I mean by that this. Some use denomination. You know, they come across something in here and it doesn't match the creed and the confession, and well, that must mean something else, and they just go on because it doesn't fit their chief hermeneutic principle. And with some, it's confessions, which are always changing. With some, a whole bunch of people, it's prophecy. They come across scriptures here, and if it doesn't match what they think about prophecy, the future things, then they just dismiss it. Away with it! That can't mean what it looks like it means, but it does. But it does. With some, it's legalism, law and works. Everything they read in this book has to match their view of law and works, or they won't have it. And everything they preach or teach is according to their view of law and works. But in our day, and this is so sad, but in our day, the very chief hermeneutic principle in all Christendom is free will. They read something in this book and it doesn't match what they believe about free will. That can't mean that. God wouldn't do that. I bet he does. Whatever he says here, he'll do. But I'm saying all that to say this. Everybody has some established notion up here in their head before they ever start reading this Bible, and everything has fit that notion. They don't do what James said, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Don't get mad. Bow to it. Bow to it. The chief hermeneutic principle of God's preacher is Christ. Christ and Him crucified. You can't preach the whole counsel of God without preaching Christ. And you can't preach Christ without preaching the whole counsel of God. They're one and the same.
Yes.
I heard years ago when I first started preaching that this Bible, this book here, is history, or his story. His story. Isn't that something? But what's it about? It's about him. It's his story. That's what this Bible is about. I am commanded to preach Christ. Paul said, woe unto me if I don't preach. No, he said, woe is to me. Don't preach Christ.
Right.
And I desire to preach Christ. Never have done it very well. I'd sure like to. And once you ever see Christ, there's nothing else to preach. Christ is all and in all. You may be surprised at this. Some of you won't be. But I've had people say unto me, Pastor, Preacher, we've trusted in Christ. We've made our confession. We've been baptized. And here's what they say. Now we want to go on to other things. Better things. Better things in Christ. Where are you going to find them? I've actually heard that. I've actually been asked that. Had that request made. Had a woman come into church one time. She'd been there a time or two and left and went to Reform and came back and said, well, preacher, it's just like you said it would be. And they came back and sat down again and they started listening and hadn't been there two or three weeks. And she said, Pastor, she said, I wish you'd preach on the holy angels sometime. Said, I've been listening to this fellow on tape, and he preached 27 messages on the holy angels. I said, honey, you don't want to hear from me then, because I preach all I know in one message. It doesn't say much about it. I don't know much about it. There's some people like that. They're just driven to other things. But I'll tell you, any move away from Christ is a downgrade. Any move away from Christ is the spirit of apostasy.
Yes.
You don't want to let anything ever come between you and Christ or get above Christ in your thoughts and mind.
Yes.
Spurgeon said, John Calvin said, any move away from Christ is a move to divers and strange doctrines. Mm-hmm. And that's so. That is so. Nothing in the Word of God. Now hear this, old man. Nothing in the Word of God can be understood aright, can be understood correctly, apart from Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing in this book. What if a man, and I've had over 40 years I've been preaching at one place out there, and I've had people bring me about everything. They brought me a catalog of this man, this pastor's tapes. And it's about the size of Sears Roebuck catalog. And had regeneration. 25, 6 messages. And I started listening to those things and no Christ. All the little intricate matters of regeneration, which he don't know and I don't know and nobody knows. It's just stretching it all out. Regeneration, regeneration. And no Christ. I don't want to hear about regeneration if Christ is not in it. Let's just talk about Kentucky basketball or something. What has a man learned? If he study creation, and some of these preachers do. Oh, they have a sermon on when he said, let there be light, and then they have a sermon on when he said, let there be a tree, and then the sermon on when they said, let there be a bird, and all that stuff, you know. Just go on and on and on. What does a man gain? What has he profited if you study all that so thoroughly? And doesn't even talk about the Creator. Jesus Christ. I read in this book all things were made. They're of him and by him and for him. And Revelation 4:11, for his good pleasure. Everything exists. Everything was created. We better say a word or two about him, I guess. What if you learned and studied so much about Abel's sacrifice and never did know how it related to Christ, that it was just a dim picture? What if you learned and studied, and boy, the world's done it, religion's done it, trying to find a piece of Noah's Ark, you know, and if I could find a piece of Noah's Ark, if I could see a piece of that Ark, I'd really believe. No, you wouldn't. If you send somebody from the dead that my brothers believe, no, they wouldn't. They don't believe his word. They don't believe. Faith comes to hearing, not seeing. And hearing comes by way of the word. And you consider Christian obedience. Now, I want you to hear this good. People always tell you what to do, where to go, what not to do. Christian obedience, preached apart from Christ, is just plain old unprofitable works religion.
That's
all it is. You say, but he's getting up there every Sunday and telling us how to live and what to do and where to go and all these things. You knew that before you went to church. You didn't need some preacher to tell you that. But you'll never obey the obedience of faith. And you'll never obey otherwise. Comes from looking at Christ. Look at the scriptures. Turn to Luke just a moment. Chapter 24. Most of you here familiar with this, I'm sure, but it won't hurt us, I guess, to read it again. Luke chapter 24. I'm about like the Apostle Peter. I'm about ready to put off this old tabernacle, and it won't hurt to remind you one more time. Chapter 24. If I ever find it. He's walking down the Emmaus Road, the Lord Jesus, and they don't know who he is. And he says in verse 25, "Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered, entered into these things, suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, all of them, things concerning himself." Verse 44. "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, written about me," concerning me. "Then open ye their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." We continue to meet, and we continue to pray, as the preacher said last night, that God give us greater understanding. Us a greater understanding. And we need a greater understanding. Look at 1 Corinthians just a moment. I'll show you something. Look at chapter 9 and verse 9. chapter 9, verse 9. It is written. It is written in the law of Moses. Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Now, what's that have to do with anything? Now, I was growing up, we raised corn. And sometimes Dad would muzzle the old horse, because they'd get one side to the other, you know, they'd after that corn. Never thought anything about it. Doth God take care of oxen? Is that why he said this? Is that all it means? Or saith it altogether for our sakes right here today? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that plows should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of that hope. It shows the ministry, the maintenance of the ministers of the gospel. That's what that was all about. If God hadn't told me, I'd never know it today. But he explained it here. This book's about Christ. This book's about Christ. And Christ is in this book in a way that ways that we'll never understand while we're in this world. But it's about him. It's about him. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the eternal word, the message from God. Not only came down here as a messenger, he himself is that message. I say to our church quite often what Spurgeon used to say, that Christ is not only our Savior, he himself is our salvation. He's everything. He's everything. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at creation. We read it in Colossians, the first chapter. All things are created by him and for him. He's a creator. John chapter 1, first three verses, of not anything ever made or created without him. He did it all. He is the creator of all things. All of him, by him, and for him, and as I said, for his good pleasure. Everything was made. Why is this world here? I'm not sure about all of it, but it's made for the pleasure of God. For the glory of God through his Son. And in it all, from beginning to end, the Son has the preeminence in all things. Look at providence, the God-man, the mediator, Christ Jesus. He rules this universe. He's not the modern pygmy Jesus of our generation. The Jesus of the Scriptures rules the universe. And everything in it. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Everything. He rules it. Mary's son. The lowly Nazarene. Our Savior. The Bible said is the only potentate. King of kings and Lord of lords. The Father hath delivered all things, he said, into my hands. How many things? Everything. All things. Father hath delivered all things into my hands. He told his disciples before he left, he said, I have power over all things in heaven. I have all power in earth. All power over all flesh, all things, Lord over all. This is Jesus, our Savior. And look at salvation. I'm going to hurry on. Salvation. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only Savior. The only Savior. If you would be saved, look to Him. Not partly to Him and partly to your works. Entirely, completely on Him.
Amen.
Trust Him. Put all your confidence in Him.
Yes.
Old Rolf Barney, you say, put all your eggs in one basket. Trust everything to Him. Everything to Him. Your salvation back yonder in the beginning. Your salvation from day to day. Your perseverance. Your preservation. We trust Him.
Yes.
I like the sovereign Christ, the great Christ, the Christ who's able to save, mighty to save. Because I don't have an enemy that I can withstand in my own strength. But all of them join hand in hand cannot overcome my Savior. That's my trust. He's my trust. The Lord Jesus Christ. When the fullness of time has come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us from the curse of the law. And I repeat with joy, He shall not fail.
Amen.
Did we hear that last night? He shall not fail. Nor even be discouraged. He shall not fail. He only purged our sins, put away our sins. They're gone. If He put away my sins, I don't have them anymore. And He did. The Bible talks about all those priests who offer often the same sacrifices, day by day, day in and day out, which can never put away sin. But this man, I love that, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down, it's done, it's finished. For by one offering He hath perfected. You hear that? Perfected. Someone said it last night, to be accepted of God, you have to be perfect. He hath perfected us forever. And then it goes on with that glorious word from God, and their sins and their iniquities, I'll never remember them again. Oh, I love that kind of Savior.
Amen.
And it's all of Him. It's all of Him. Let me show you something. Acts chapter 10. I want you to see this. And think about it. There are so many different beliefs in the world today. And some of you have a Scopia Bible, and that's a great hindrance. And then, it says here, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, verse 43, to Him. You ever wonder what the prophets preached in the Old Testament? Reckon they ever made any explanations when they offered those sacrifices? To Him give all the prophets witness. Well, pray tell, what did they say? They said that through His name, whosoever believeth, shall receive the forgiveness of sins. That's what they all preached on, from the first to the last.
Amen.
And all the types said the same thing. Christ is all and in all. No doubt about it. Believe on Him. Or better, I like it better, believe Him, thou shalt be saved. That's what Paul said. He never said, I believe on Him, I believe about Him. He said, I know whom I believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. whom. Salvation is a whom. He is all and in all. All that, I love saying this, thinking about it. All that God required of me, He sent His Son to provide for me.
Amen.
Never left out a thing. You know what God requires of you? That you trust in Him, give Him glory, serve Him with your whole heart from your mother's womb. Nobody's ever done that yet except one man. He trusted in the Lord from his mother's womb.
Yeah.
For me. In my name. It's kind of like if I did it. But I didn't do it. He did it. He is all and in all. Of God. Now this is important. Of God. The wording is important. Of God are you in Christ Jesus. Those of you who are. In Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, and all that we need for time and eternity. It's all in Christ.
Amen. Amen.
In Christ. Lastly, in this life of faith and obedience, Christ must be all. Every commandment must be sprinkled in the blood of Christ. Are you just a legalist?
That's right.
Every, in the life of faith and obedience, Christ is all and in all. You remember Saul of Tarsus? He became the Apostle Paul. And after that he said, the love of Christ, it constrains me. But I judge that if he died for all, we were all dead. And we sure did need it. And he died for all that we should. Now listen to these things. There's 2 points in 2 verses. He said, we no longer live unto ourselves, but to him that loved us and gave himself for us. Next verse says, we no longer judge after the flesh, the world's judgments. He said, though I've known Christ after the flesh, know I him no more. We judge things with spiritual judgment. Spiritual judgment. That is so important. He said, the love of Christ constraineth us. Now, just to give you an example or two from the Scriptures, and I'm done. And the Scriptures is full of it. Once you see it, you can't overlook it. You can't miss it. It's everywhere. Galatians 2:20. Well, verse 19 first, it says, Paul said, and this is important, through the law, am dead to the law. I might live unto God. Paul, how did you satisfy the law? How is it that through the law you're dead? He said, I'm crucified with Christ. When he died, I died. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What's the principle of obedience there? The principle of getting us to follow after Christ? I live for him who died for me. Husbands and wives. Husbands, love your wives even as how? Like Christ loved the church. Gave himself for it. The Bible's full of it. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Ephesians 4, verses 30, 31, 32. I just give you a part of it. Be ye kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. have like Christ forgave you. Everything points us to Christ. Points us to Christ. And on, but I'll go. Turn to Titus 3. Titus chapter 3. I remember the first time I saw this. I have a background where I've heard so much of this preaching, driving people with the whip of the law or the hounds of hell, threatening them with judgment. If your house burned down because you were doing something bad, like Job's friends. And if you do real good, oh, you get crowns. Have a bunch of them. When I saw this, it just cleared it all up. What I'm telling you this morning. Let's begin reading with the first verse of chapter 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers with words or fists, but to be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men, for we ourselves also, remember what you were? If you don't remember what you were, you don't know what you are. For we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But after that, oh, I love these conjunctions, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. It wasn't by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. He's all and in all. That being justified by His grace, He's everything, we should be made according to heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And God said it was. And He said, just say it all the time. Just keep on saying it. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Just tell them over and over. Remind them who they are, what devils they used to be. And show them what Christ did for them.
Yes.
That they which have truly believed, really believed, savingly believed, might be careful. Be careful. Be careful to maintain good works. When they hear that preacher get up there and tell them what they are, what they were, what Christ did for them, what He made them to be, the hope of eternal life and glory, they're going to be careful. Give them the honor and the glory and the praise. These things are good and profitable unto men. You can't preach the gospel. Cannot. Nobody. Ever did, ever can, ever will. You can't preach the gospel without telling the truth about God. And you can never know the truth about you until you see the truth about God. Because in His light we see ourselves. Oh, Isaiah, he had a lot of things to say about a lot of people. Everybody. And one day he saw the Lord. Woe is me. I'm cut off. I'm undone.
That's right.
He saw Himself. He saw Himself. May God bless these words to every heart, mind, and minute.